was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos, Parshas Vayechi. It was the 16th day of Tevis. The year was January 87. And this is the last time the Rebbe would deliver a maimer on this Parsha. There's no more maimerim on Parshas Vayechi, 1987. And it's quite a remarkable maimer, as you will hear. Vayechi Yain Kiv Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. Yaakov, father Jacob, lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. That's how the Parsha opens. Vayehi Yemei Yaakov, and so the days of Yaakov were Shnei Chayov, Sheva Shanim, 7 years. V'arboim U'me'as Shana, and 140 years. V'yidu Adiyuk Bezeh. So our Rabbeim, when they taught Chassidus and the Smaimer, they asked oftentimes similar questions. And a question which appears copiously in the teachings of Chassidus is, Mahu inyan vayechi yankev bi'eretz Mitzrayim? What is this business of, and Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt, the mashma that it intimates, she'ikar shenesov, chai yankev b'Mitzrayim, that Yaakov's primary years, or best years, were lived in the land of Mitzrayim. And that is actually what is stated in a multiple medrashim, that Yaakov's best years were in the land of Mitzrayim. For example, a very famous medrash, which is found in numerous sources, and it's also quoted by some of the Rishonim, is that Vayechi has the numerical equivalent of 34, and that there was only two periods of 17 years each, which equals 34, in which Yaakov really was alive, fully alive. And that was the first 17 years of Yosef's life, and the 17 years they lived in Mitzrayim. But the Rebbe here is emphasizing the business of chai, life. V'gam lifnei zeh, hoya b'chai yankev inyonim nailim. But the Rebbe asks, were there not lofty things, great accomplishments, much to take pride in the previous years of Yaakov? V'ad sh'nemer lifnei zeh, when it talks about Yaakov Avinu, living in the prime of his life, it says, v'yeshev Yaakov, he settled, he dwelt, b'yedetz meguri aviv, in the land of the sojourns of his father. V'haynu, that is to say, if it says Vayeshev, Shahoyo b'matzev shal Vayeshev, that he was in a settled situation. He was calm, cool, collected, happy. It was in the land of Israel. He had returned home. He had overcome his challenges. U'befrat al pi pirush chazal shal Vayeshev, haynu yeshiva b'shalva, especially according to the teaching of our sages, which is from the Medrash but quoted by Rashi, that Vayeshev indicates Yankev Avinu, Father Jacob's desire to dwell in peace. Shebikesh Yankev Leishev B'Shalva, as the Rashi says, Yaakov Avinu sought to dwell in peace. And then unfortunately the story of Yosef unfolded. But before the story on Yosef unfolded, V'niskayim zeh b'meshach kol ha'shanim sheyoshev sam, it did actually unfold in full color during the years that he first lived in the land of Egypt, Ad shekafatz al avrug zeshal Yosef, until the angst of Yosef and his brothers sprang upon him. Kimavur b'makim acher, the Rebbe here alludes to a edited sicha, and there the Rebbe makes the calculation and shows us that there had to be at least 9 years in which Yaakov lived well. Maybe not all 17, but 9 years. There was for 9 years Bikesh Yankev Leishev B'Shalva, and for 9 years he actually succeeded. V'im Kein, and if so, Madua Nemar Kan Davke Vayechi. Why here does it say Vayechi? So, I know what you're thinking. We heard this already. We saw this movie. When Sarah Yimeinu passes away, it says, and it was the years of Sarah, it says Vahishnei Chai Sarah. Yeah, but here it doesn't say, it's not a post-mortem. The Parsha doesn't open with the passing of Yankev. The Parsha is not commenting on the life that was lived. The Parsha opens with a discussion of the life that's being lived in a dynamic form. Here's what's going on. Yaakov is living. He's living. You know, like they say in English, he's living it up. Amachtalebim, he's enjoying life. Why would you use that expression? Yaakov is having a fantastic time. You could say Yaakov was in Egypt for 17 years. Yaakov dwelt in Egypt for 17 years. He settled in Egypt for 17 years. What kind of ayichi? Shema shmoi, that the intimation of this is, especially since it never shows up before. We don't find anybody being described as Vayechi. We don't have Avram described as Vayechi, or a Yitzchak, or Yaakov ever up until this point, even though he lived in many places. I know Vayechi means life, but here, and only here, does the Torah choose to describe Yaakov's living as Vayechi. And the Rebbe suggests that that's meaningful. Something's being conveyed to us. And Mashmoy, the intimation is that here in Mitzrayim, Yaakov lived. It would seem reasonable to say that when it states that Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim, what do you want? Why did it say he lived? He lived because he lived there for 17 years. But the Rebbe says, "Aval neisef ala mafurish b'divrei Rabbein Hazaken." Besides the words of the Alter Rebbe, which is found in the book of Hayom Yom on the 18th day of Teves, hapirish bazeh, the intimation, the meaning, the notion of Yaakov Avinu's vayechi is sheshneisav achi Teves sheyankev hoya b'Mitzrayim, that his best years were in Egypt. E'ef shalemerkein. We cannot say simply that whatever Yaakov lived, so that's why it says vayechi. And that's been based time for two reasons. Ha'alaf, ha'rimavur b'kavamakemes, shemispar yudzayin shepasuk zeo b'gemati atev. There are multiple sources indicating that here, when it says 17, it indicates good, because 17 is the gematria of good. Tov, tes is 9, vav is 6, and beis is 2, which gives you 17. Shemizem movement from this is understood, sheshnoisev achi tev is chai b'mitzrayim, Yankov's best years, who lived in the land of Egypt. As I mentioned to you in the outset, that this corresponds to the 17 years of Yaakov and Vayeshev, which everybody will agree that that was the 17 best years, or so it would have seemed. And yet, these 17 years correspond to that, and they seem to eclipse them, and that's because the Pasuk emphasizes the notion of Vayechi. That's number one. Number two, v'habeis shemisiyam akosav, from the conclusion of the pasuk vayihi yimei Yankev shnei chayav, and so it was a roundup of Yaakov's years. Mashma shachayav b'mitzrayim hoya iker. It seems that this was the main years of living. Here's when Yaakov was alive, on fire, everything was great, and then after we talk about those last 17 great years, then we give a roundup and said yes. And in total, Yaakov lived for 147 years. So these are the questions. This is the question. The Rebbe goes into another question of the details of how the year is enumerated, which I'm not going to talk about now because I'm not going to get to the answer this morning. So there's a subtext there. And the subtext there is, even though it doesn't spell it out clearly here in the Maimer, is that Mitzrayim was considered to be the place of moral depravity, more so than any other place on planet Earth. The culture, the civilization of Mitzrayim was extremely, extremely evil, extremely ungodly, extremely unspiritual. And the question then becomes, why would Yaakov live his best years in the place that is furthest from his values? You could say Yaakov survived, he got by, he tried to ignore what was going on around him, but why would he live his best years there? It doesn't add up. His best years should have been when he was in an environment that was more conducive to what he believed in, to his values. So this question is asked in many places in Chassidus, and there's different answers that are given. Starting with the book of Hayom Yom, in which we hear about the Tzemach Tzedek coming home, and he's all weepy, and he says to his Zaidi, Zaidi, what's going on here? Yaakov Avinu, Bechir Shabbos, the selected of patriarchs, lives his best years in Mitzrayim. How could this be? And the Alter Rebbe goes into some deep trance, deep contemplation, and then he tells his grandson, he says, you know, before Yaakov went to Mitzrayim, he sent Yehuda, and Yehuda's job was to set up a yeshiva, L'Hodesh L'Fanav. And he says, therefore, when a person studies Torah, anywhere you are, it could still be gelept. You could still live in the fullest sense spiritually. So the thing is, that Hayom Yom doesn't really fully answer the question. The question is, how could Yaakov's best years have been there? The answer is, well, it could have been there. He could overcome the environment and still live a spiritually edifying and fulfilling life. But it doesn't really answer the question, so why would his best years be there? You could say he could still maintain spiritual equilibrium And yet, the emphasis here is in Yaakov's best years. And in this mimer, which, as I said, is the last mimer that the Rebbe delivered on Parshas Vayechi, the Rebbe suggests and charts a new path. This is a novel approach to the problem. Ach nekudas habir b'zeh. The nekuda, the point, the essence of the point is like this. The hine yadua, behold it is known. Shetachlis kavonas habriya. That the ultimate purpose of creation, is that which God desires, a dwelling place here on earth. That's the purpose of creation. There are many people who erroneously think that planet Earth is a great big obstacle course. The point is to get to heaven. The way is to get through Earth. So if you manage to survive Earth and you come out somewhat unscathed, then you get to heaven. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. So God basically torments you, makes you crazy, has you jumping hoops, but because he loves you, because he wants you to go to heaven. Now, most spiritual faith systems actually subscribe to this. Some are actually ready to kill other people in order to get there, sadly and tragically. But Judaism has an entirely different view of this. As the Alter Rebbe articulates in the 36th chapter of Tanya, at great length, that's proven by the fact that the Medrash in two places says that the purpose of God's creation is just like he wanted to had a dwelling on high, he wanted a dwelling below. Which does not mean physically below, because Atzilus is not a better world or a pure world because it's higher, so to speak. When you go into outer space, you're not any closer to God. That's ridiculous. So this is the only world that is stuck within the realm of physicality. But the physical world is the place where God's presence is least revealed. And the point is that God desired a dwelling place in that physical world. That's why he created the world.
Where one would study Torah, it's irrespective. It's
no.
Studying Torah.
No, that's not the Rebbe's point, with all due respect. The Rebbe is not saying, up until this mimer, we would understand it's irrespective, because the main thing is you're studying Torah. The Rebbe's point here is going to be that because the ultimate purpose is to make a dira b'tachtonim, to make a dwelling place in this lower world, and because the lower world means a place where God's presence is not seen, felt, and known. Where is the lowest of the low? In what part of planet Earth was there the greatest denial of God's existence? And the answer is, in the land of Mitzrayim, of old. Bahainu. In other words, God wants a dwelling place, ba'ilum haza, tachten shein tachten l'matev menu. In this lowly reality, don't get lower than this. Ukimuvur b'tanya, like it says in chapter 36 in Tanya. Sh'ol, mesal yeinim, hini lehem yirido me'er panaviz barach. Why would God create a world? You say, well, it's such a high world, Atzilus and Malachim are dancing. It's all a step down for God. Why is he stepping down altogether? And the ultimate answer is that what you consider to be the highest world is a huge step down for God. So if it's a huge step down for God, why did he create it? And the answer is so there could be a lower world. And why did he create the lower world? So that there could be a lower world. So the Alter Rebbe reasons, if all these lower worlds were created so that a lower world could be brought about, then ultimately, what are we really speaking about? We're basically coming to the conclusion that the purpose of all this lowliness or notion that you have reality devoid of godliness, all of that is linked to the concept of, all that's linked to the concept of the purpose of creation. Why did God want this? And the answer is in Ilum Hazah Tachten, this is a Yerida Letzayda Chaliyah, that he went so low in order for us to elevate, to uplift, and to come higher. So this is the Yerida LeMitzrayim. The Yerida LeMitzrayim for Yaakov and his family is Bishvil Lasses LeYizbarach Dira B'Tachtenim. Yaakov Avinu understood that the reason he goes to Mitzrayim is to make a dwelling place for God. The Mitzrayim, Hayno LeYirak HaMeitzarim V'Gvulim Sholomayla. Not only the limitations, because Mitzrayim means narrow straits and limitations. Not only the limitations on some lofty, theoretical, spiritual plane. El HaMeitzarim V'Gvulim De'Elam Hazeh. The limitations of our worldly reality that denies the presence of God, that mocks the notion that there's a spiritual purpose to creation. And this idea is expressed in its lowest form in Egypt of antiquity. There's Mitzrayim Kipshutai. And that's Erev HaSaaretz. And that's what was called the licentious, most licentious place on planet Earth. The Tachlis HaKavona. The ultimate purpose then was in the Yerida LeMitzrayim is not that they should be in Egypt, but ignore Egypt. Despite the fact that they're in Egypt, still maintain their spiritual values. but rather the tachlis hakavana is lasas leizbarach dira b'tachtoinim. The reason they went there is to make that a godly place. So why did Yaakov live his best years? I'll tell you why, says the Rebbe. Because Yaakov's essence was to do what Hashem wants. And Yaakov Avinu understood that because it's about doing what Hashem wants, where do we have an opportunity to do what Hashem wants most? He understood that's a Mitzrayim. In other words, Yaakov's joy in life came out of the fulfillment of mission and purpose. Because he understood that this represented the highest mission and the highest purpose, that's where he found his joy. Because the others were in a state, as the Rebbe goes on to say, the Maimer of total bittul telikus, they were totally suspended before the reality of divinity. Uke Maimer, like it says in the Zohar, ha'avoy, seinein amerkava, is brought down in the Medrash, and all the Rebbe talks about in Tanya all the time, that the others were like a vehicle. It does not have a mind of its own. Had a movement that's understood, she'ikir ha'chaim shalahem, that for the others, for a tzaddik, for a person who pulsates with nothing but a desire to do what Hashem wants. So for a person like that, his whole essence, his whole focus is, how do I do what Hashem wants? And because Mitzrayim is the greatest challenge to make a dwelling place, but that's what Hashem really wants. So then Yaakov Avinu was able to live. What gave him his life? Not that he was able to relax, not that he was able to feel a sense of serenity and inner peace and joy. He did that already. It was already a Vayeshev Yankiv. The point here was that Yaakov Avinu sensed the greatest mission here in Mitzrayim. And that gave him joy. And that gave him fulfillment. And that's why it says, Vayechi Yankiv. In other words, we should delight in the fact that we are able to achieve that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to do. And thus, heis gelebt. When you live a life of purpose, that's called living. And that ultimately is what life is really all about. This is the lesson of Vayechi Yaakov. That's the lesson we have to incorporate into our own lives. Good Shabbos to all of our listeners. Thank you all for joining us a whole week long. And with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, we will hopefully soon experience the rest of the story with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira will be amazing.